Okay, we'd like to look here at one verse here in Psalms 39 and verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now notice the latter part of that verse. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, or worthless, or less than nothing. We want to preach this morning on the subject, man's true condition before Almighty God. I believe people in our day do not want to hear that they're sinners by birth. They don't want to hear the awful effects of the fall of Adam and the consequences of sin. They don't want to hear that they're dead in trespasses and in sins. They don't want to hear that they're without hope, that they're without God, that they're without strength to overcome sin and unable to save themselves. They don't want to hear that Christ is their only hope, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I didn't want to hear that when I was lost. I thought I was a pretty good fella. And so we see here that the word vanity, it means something worthless or less than nothing. He does not have any goodness. He does not have any righteousness. He does not have any holiness to offer to the Lord. In the book of Ecclesiastes, just keep your finger there, we'll be going back here. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, just go over here a couple books. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And let us notice verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Look at verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. They sought out many inventions. They have sought out their own way of salvation. Salvation of their own making. Isn't that where we're at today? And so man is in love with sin. He's in love with self. He's unable to please God. He's unable and unwilling to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're thankful this morning that the Lord makes us willing in the day of His power. We want to notice first of all this morning the beginning of sin, or the origin of sin and depravity. I believe the verse that we just read in the book of Psalms chapter 39 teaches total depravity. Not partial, but total depravity. And I believe the scriptures that we'll be using here from here on out teaches us that also. So in order to understand man's wretchedness, we must not just examine the symptoms of it, but we must go to the root of the problem that man has. The root of his wretchedness. The root of his depravity. I believe that it's an undeniable fact that our world is infected by the disease of sin. Murder, war, covetousness, robbery, rape are all common acts in our sin-sick world today. Our world is not becoming better. It's not a better place, as the evolutionists would teach, or that the humanists would want to tell us. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So sin's beginning, I believe, can be traced all the way back to Satan. The lost sinner doesn't know that. I didn't know that. The lost sinner today doesn't realize that that's even in the Bible. But in the book of Isaiah, we'd like for you to turn over here with us to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And let us notice verse 12 through 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God, or the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And so Satan's desire was to exalt himself above God and to worship God's authority. He wanted to dethrone God and act as sovereign over God's creation. And I believe that we do the same thing with our lives. Satan's desire was the same as it is now. He wants people to worship him rather than the sovereign God of this universe. And so Satan's main problem was prideful self-will. That was his problem. And so he willingly rebelled against God. So we can trace sin also back to the Garden of Eden. I believe Adam was created a moral, rational, upright individual. He was without sin, and he enjoyed fellowship with God. He had the responsibility of taking care of the garden. But Adam and Eve lived in a world that was not corrupted, that was not marred by sin. Satan was out to corrupt Adam and Eve, and that he did. He came to her as an angel of light. And the day that Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they did not die physically, but they died spiritually. Immediately, Adam and Eve were separated from God. And Adam plunged the whole human race into sin. And so Adam is the natural father of the human race. And so his corrupt and sinful nature is inherited by everybody that has ever been born or ever will be born. And so Adam's sin was justly charged to all men that was born after him. And that included you. That included me. In the book of Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, bears this out. Let's notice in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Adam's sin has been imputed to all of his descendants. So we see from these verses that every man, woman, boy, and girl that has been declared by God to be spiritually dead with a sinful nature, judged and condemned in Adam. I believe that that's exactly what these verses here in the book of Romans is teaching us this morning. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. You have a sinful nature. And so we all inherited our parents' sinful nature. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 51. And verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In Psalms 58. Verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You say, man, do you mean that I'm that bad? I didn't realize I was that bad. Look at Job. The book of Job, chapter 14. Let's notice one verse there. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Nobody had to teach you to sin. Children sin because they're born with a nature to sin. Who taught you to tell your first lie? Men are not sinners because they sin. They sin because they're sinners from the time of birth. Now, do you all realize the condition that we were in before the Lord saved you by the grace of God? This message is not only for those that are lost without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but I believe this message is to us that are saved by the grace of God also, to cause us to rejoice that we're saved by the grace of God. And God, in His love and His mercy and His grace, revealed to us the true condition that we were really in. And I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ, that by the aid of the Holy Spirit, reveals your sinful condition to you, and when you see in the Bible, in the Word of God, what God says that you really are, you'll not have any problem coming. You'll not have any problem being saved by the grace of God. The day that the Lord saved me, I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. And don't you come until that happens. Till you want to be saved more than anything in the world. There was a time in my life when I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't want anything to do with the Bible. But I went and heard some preaching, and I heard the gospel, how that Jesus Christ died, and how that He was buried, and how that He arose again the third day, and the Lord used the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God pricked my heart, showed me that I was lost, showed me the sinner that I was before a holy and a righteous God. And that Sunday morning, that day I stepped out, I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. The Lord showed me exactly what I was. He showed me the sinner that I was. I'll never forget going down that old gravel road. I'd never gone down that gravel road to go to work before in my life. But I went down that little old gravel road, and the Lord revealed to me and showed me the condition that I was in as a sinner. And I needed to be saved by the grace of God. And that Jesus Christ was the only one that could save my soul. You'll not have any trouble coming when you see that yourself by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And so, who taught Cain to murder his brother? Who taught Lamech to take more than one wife? Why do people who are blind and deaf sin? So I never thought of that one. They can't see. They can't hear others sinful. They can't see and hear others sinful conduct. The answer is that all of us are born sinners with a nature that opposes God and opposes the law of God. And when you see this, you'll see God's grace. God sees all men through two representatives, Adam and Jesus Christ. Who is your representative? Who's representing you? Where do you stand? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let us notice verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we have two representatives, Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Back in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Notice verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That got every single one of us here this morning. In the book of Isaiah, go back to the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. And let us notice verse 5 and 6. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mortified with ointment. Say, man. Boy, after I was first saved, I read that, and I thought, boy, I was in bad shape. Look also in Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Let us look at verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses. I always used to quote that, you know, I'd say all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It didn't say that. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We have a easy believism today. Just anything goes. You love Jesus? Yeah. You want Jesus come into your heart? Yeah. You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. Sign this card and you'll be okay. Now this is being preached. That's being practiced in a lot of Baptist churches today. In a lot of so-called churches all over this world today. But we trust this morning that the Holy Spirit of God will reveal to you your true condition before the Lord. That He'll grant you the repentance and the faith to believe and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, man, in the condition that I see myself in here, man, there's just no way that I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps and make it to heaven. You're right, you can't. Unless the Lord does something for you. And you need to pray that God, by His mercy and His grace, will save your soul. That you'll truly see yourself lost and without any hope, without any strength, and trust Him as your Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You never receive Christ as your Savior, you'll die in split hell wide open. But he says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So our heart is bad. The mind is bad. The eyesight is bad. So you cannot see yourself as God sees you. And as the Bible describes you, only through the Holy Spirit. The sinner thinks everything's all right. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, I'd like to read to verse 2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Notice that. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Boy, is that true. Before I was saved, I thought I was all right. Most everybody liked me. There's a few may not have liked me, you know. But I thought I was a pretty good guy. You know. I treated everybody like I'd want to be treated and everything, you know. But every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But we've got to see ourselves as God sees us. And as the Bible has described to us this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us notice verse 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is hid or veiled to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should be shine unto them. And so we think that we're all right in our own eyes. But you must see yourself as God sees you. Lost, without hope, without strength. You need Jesus Christ to do something for you. You need the Lord to do something in you. You must be born again before you enter the kingdom of heaven. Walking down a church aisle is not going to get the job done. Coming forward because little Susie came forward and your best friend came forward. I believe there's many kids today and many boys and many girls that have done that very thing and have never had a personal experience of the grace of God in their heart. They've made a false profession of faith. They've never had the real thing. Man's hearing is bad as a result of sin. Why do you not understand, it says in Romans chapter 8, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear him not, because you are not of God. Boy, that's pretty straight, isn't it? So he must give you a hearing ear. And when he does that, you know that he's speaking to you. Y'all remember that? Y'all go back to when the Lord spoke to you for the first time. Are y'all back there? Huh? What are y'all smiling about? You heard, didn't you? Say, well, I don't know. I don't know when this is going to take place. You'll know it. That's all I can say. You'll know it when the Lord speaks to you. When He speaks to your heart, He reveals Himself to you, you'll know it. We want to close with what the Apostle Paul had to say about sinful mankind in the book of Romans chapter 3. In the book of Romans chapter 3, we want to read verse 10. Romans chapter 3, get over here, and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. We need the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's what the Apostle Paul had to say concerning the total depravity of man. Now, what is the cure for your sinful condition? The cure for your sinful condition this morning is Jesus Christ. The lepers had to come to the high priest so that they could diagnose their disease. You must come to Jesus Christ. You must admit that you're helpless and that you cannot heal yourself. Without Him, the Lord says, you can do nothing. Jonah says that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. By the time the Lord got through with Jonah, he knew that salvation was of the Lord. And you will too. Don't forget, you're dead spiritually. You need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit. You need to be made alive spiritually. You need Jesus Christ to save your soul. You need Him to show you your true condition before Him. Yes, Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. He is the only way.